Chapter 11. We have brought it off. I am once again travelling through space aboard the cosmic craft, rushing like a comet in the direction of the solar system at an ever-increasing speed. I am not alone. With me are Nova and Sirius, the fruit of our interplanetary passion, who can say Papa, Mama, and many other words. Also on board are a couple of chickens and rabbits, and various seeds which the scientists put in the satellite to study the effects of radiation on organisms of a very diverse kind. All this will not be wasted. Cornelius's plan was carried out to the letter. Our substitution for the selected trio was made without difficulty. The woman took Nova's place in the Institute. The child will be handed over to Zaius. The latter will demonstrate that he cannot talk and is nothing but an animal. Then, perhaps, I will no longer be considered dangerous, and the man who has taken my place, who will likewise not talk, will be spared his life. It is unlikely that they will ever suspect the substitution. The orangutans, as I've said before, make no distinction between one man and another. Zaius will triumph. Cornelius will have a few worries, perhaps, but all this will soon be forgotten. What do I mean? It already is forgotten, for eons have elapsed out there during the few months I've been shooting through space. As for me, my memories are rapidly receding, like the material body of the supergiant Betelgeuse, as the space-time increases between us. The monster has changed in size to a small balloon, then an orange. It is now no more than a minute bright spot in the galaxy. So it is with my Sororian thoughts. It would be unreasonable of me to fret. I have succeeded in saving the beings who are dear to me. Whom do I miss over there? Zira? Yes, Zira. But the sentiment that came to life between us had no name on Earth or any other region of the cosmos. The separation was essential. She must have recovered her peace of mind, bringing up her baby chimpanzees after marrying Cornelius. Professor Antel? To hell with the professor. I could no longer do anything for him, and he has apparently found a satisfactory solution to the problem of existence. Only I shudder occasionally when I think that had I been placed in the same conditions as he was, and without Zira's presence, I too might have fallen equally low. The boarding of our craft took place without a hitch. I was able to draw closer and closer to it by guiding the satellite and enter the compartment which had been left wide open for the eventual return of our launch. Then the robots went into action and closed all the exits. We were on board. The equipment was intact and the electronic brain started carrying out all the operations for our departure. On the planet Soror, our accomplices pretended that the satellite had been destroyed in flight after failing to be placed in orbit. We have been travelling for more than a year and a half of our own time. We have reached all but the speed of light, crossed an immense space in a very short time, and have already embarked on the deceleration period, which is to last another year. In our little universe, I never get tired of admiring my new family. Nova is bearing the voyage extremely well. She is becoming more and more rational. Her motherhood has transformed her. She spends hours doting on her son, who is proving to be a better teacher for her than I was. She articulates almost correctly the words he utters. She does not yet talk to me, but we have drawn up a code of gestures, enabling us to understand each other. I feel as though I had lived with her for always. As for Sirius, he is the pearl of the cosmos. He is a year and a half old. He walks, despite the heavy gravity, and babbles without stopping. I cannot wait to show him to the men on Earth. What an emotion I felt this morning when I noticed the sun was beginning to assume a perceptible dimension. It appears to us now like a billiard ball, and is tinged with yellow. I pointed out to Nova and Sirius. I explain the nature of this heavenly body, which is new to them, and they understand. Today, Sirius talks fluently, and Nova almost as well. She has been learning at the same time as he. miracle of motherhood, miracle which I initiated. I was unable to raise all the men on Soror from their animal state, but my success in Nova's case is complete. The sun is growing bigger every moment. I try to distinguish the planets in the telescope. I can find my bearings easily. I can see Jupiter, Saturn, Mars, and the Earth. Yes, here is the Earth. Tears come into my eyes. Only someone who has lived more than a year on the monkey planet could appreciate my emotion. I know, after 700 years, I shall find neither parents nor friends, but I can hardly wait to see proper men again. Glued to the portholes, we watch Earth approaching. I no longer need the telescope to distinguish the continents. We are in orbit. We are revolving round my old planet. I can see Australia, America, and then, yes, here is France. We all three embrace, sobbing. We embark in the vessel's second launch. All the calculations have been made with a view to landing in my native country, not far from Paris, I hope. We have entered the atmosphere. The retro rockets come into action. Nova looks at me and smiles. She has learned how to smile and also how to weep. My son stretches his arms out and opens his eyes in wonder. Below us is Paris. The Eiffel Tower is still there. I have taken over the controls and am navigating very accurately. A miracle of technique. After 700 years' absence, I managed to land at Orly, which has not changed very much, at the end of the airfield, fairly far from the airport buildings. They must have noticed me, so all I need do is wait. There seems to be no air traffic. Could the airport be out of use? No, there goes a machine. It resembles in every respect the aircraft of my day and age. A vehicle moves off from the buildings, heading in our direction. I switch off my rockets, a prey to an increasingly feverish excitement. What a story I shall have to tell my fellow humans. Perhaps they won't believe me at first, but I have proof. I have Nova. I have my son. The vehicle approaches. It is a truck. A fairly old-fashioned model. 4 wheels and a combustion engine. I automatically register these details. I should have thought such vehicles had been relegated long ago to museums. I also expected a somewhat more official reception. There are very few people here to greet me. Only 2 men, as far as I can see. But how stupid I am, of course they cannot know. But when they do know... Yes, there are 2 of them. I cannot see them distinctly on account of the setting sun reflected on the windscreen, an extremely dirty windscreen, just the driver and 1 passenger. The latter wears a uniform, he is an officer. I can see the glitter of his badges of rank. The commander of the airport, probably. The others will follow. The truck stops 50 yards from us. I pick my son up in my arms and leave the launch. Nova follows us, after a moment's hesitation. She looks scared. She will soon get over it. The driver gets out of the vehicle. He has his back turned to me. He is half concealed by the long grass growing in the space between us. He opens the door for the passenger to alight. I was not mistaken, he is an officer. A senior officer, as I now see from his badges of rank. He jumps down. He takes a few steps towards us, emerges from the grass, and at last appears in full view. Nova utters a scream, snatches my son from me, and rushes back with him to the launch while I remain rooted to the spot, unable to move a muscle or utter a sound. He is a gorilla.